got a few open spots, but a lot of guests here already and several more coming, is my understanding. So we'll go ahead and get started. I would like to welcome everybody out this day. It's good to have all of you here, even with the holiday and travel going on. It's always good to be able to take time to study God's Word and focus on Him and the worship that we owe Him. We do have a handful of announcements to run through quickly before we get started. We do have just a couple of folks I'm aware of who were sick this morning. The Wigington kids, I'm told, are both not doing so well this morning, so Carrie is home taking care of them. We do obviously have several members who are out of town. Tim and Janet still traveling. The Kaysens are out. The Kirbys are over in Louisville. The Barclays and Lichtenbergs are both traveling, as are the Craigs, as far as I know. Andrew and Charlotte are also out. I was told that Mark Nevins did survive his time at Walmart so far, but he is working this morning. He intends to be with us this afternoon if his schedule does allow. Mark Kayson was listed for the Wednesday invitation. As far as the order of worship today, Mike Johnson will be wording the opening prayer for us. Warren will be leading the communion table. James is listed to be assisting him. Tony is our song leader for the day. You'll see he has 610 as his first selection. I would encourage you to turn to that if you don't have it open already. Chuck will be preaching for us this morning. Kevin Keach has agreed to fill in for the closing prayer for us at the appropriate time. As far as other things to make mention of, the radio show, as far as I know, will be this afternoon, as always, at 2 p.m. Chuck and Keith were on the schedule for that. So if you are in the area at that time, that's available at 98.5 FM or 1400 AM. Otherwise, we plan to meet again this afternoon at 4 p.m. If you are in the area, we would encourage you to rejoin with us at that time. If there's anything else that needs to be made mention of, please let me know, and I will bring it up this evening. Otherwise, I will turn things over to Tony.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is all lost gone,
682. 682. We'll sing 682. Then we'll have our opening prayer. 682.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord!
That you watch over us and care for us and love us in the ways that we see and in the ways that we don't see. Father, we're so undeserving to receive all the blessings that you give to us, for the material blessings that we have in this country that we live. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us not to focus our minds and our trust upon the things that we have here in this life, but to recognize that all these things that you've given to us come from your hand and not from our hand only. Father, most of all, we're thankful for the spiritual blessings for your word, for the Bible that we have easy access to in this country, that we can open it at any time that we would like, that we can read from your word and learn how we can be better in our service to you, that we can learn many things that are applicable to our lives and to others as well. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for that plan, for that scheme of redemption that you had before the world began, for Jesus and his willingness to come and to die on the cross, Heavenly Father, to do the things that to give up the things that he did, to leave heaven, to lower himself, to come to this earth. Heavenly Father, and we're so thankful for that. And we're sorry that it was our sins that caused that to happen. Help us, Heavenly Father, to never take those things for granted, to recognize what was done for us. Father, as we enter into our worship service here this morning, we pray your blessings upon us as we're assembled here. We pray that you be with us as we're singing songs of praise to you, that we would strengthen and edify one another as Brother Tony leads us. Help us to pay attention to the words and the thoughts and messages contained in what we sing this morning. We pray that you be with Brother Chuck as he speaks to us this morning, give him a good remembrance of the things that he has prepared, and help him to present those in an effective manner. Help us in the audience to open our Bibles and our minds to take the things that are presented, to compare them to your word. And if they are the truth, Heavenly Father, that we, if need be, that we would make the proper application wherever that might be, so we can be better in our service to you. Father, we pray in just a few moments as we take of the memorial and the Lord's Supper that our minds would be in the proper places to remember that and Jesus' death and what he did for us. And Father, we're also mindful and thankful for those who are visiting with us this morning. We pray your blessings upon them as they travel on, or whatever their situation might be. We're thankful for them. Coming this morning. We pray your blessings upon this congregation here at River Ridge. Help us, Heavenly Father, to work together to evangelize this area, to take the gospel to those who are in need. And we pray your blessings upon all of us as we work together. But help us, Heavenly Father, to always present the truth, to always be known as a congregation that stands for the truth on either side. Father, as we recognize that from time to time that we do things that are simple and in your sight, forgive us of those things, Heavenly Father, as we repent of them so that we can stand before you with clean hands and pure heart. Father, we know that in a short while, that after this day, that we will go out back out into the world, whether it be school or work. Help us, Heavenly Father, to live lives that are devoted to you. Help us to never pass up an opportunity to teach those that we come in contact with, Heavenly Father, and that we would be bold and to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. We pray that you go with us through the further exercises of this hour and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We sing 310. 310 before we take the Lord's Supper this morning. 310.
Oh, what wondrous love I see, freely shown for you and me, by the one who did atone. Justice shown his matchless grace, Jesus suffered for the race. In Gethsemane alone. Oh, what love.
Take your Bible and let's turn over to Matthew, the 26th chapter, beginning the 26th verse. Familiar passage to each of us are Christians. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
There's a lot in those passages that we need to consider. Our Lord and Savior promises his yoke was easy, burden was light. For what we receive, for what we have to give, is very little. But one of the things he wants us to do is what we're doing today. We're having a memorial to him, which we're commanded to do. So as we prepare to take these commandments, each of those who partake this morning should think back on what is done for us and what we can do on our part. Lord, let us pray. Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we pray that your blessing will be upon this bread, which to us as Christians is the communion with our Lord's body that he sacrificed upon that cross for our sins. Our prayer is that those who partake this morning will do so in a manner that is pleasing, acceptable unto you. Now we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, pray that your blessing will be upon this fruit of the vine, which to us as Christians is our large blood, which he gave for his sacrifice for our sins on the cross, Lord, and we commune with his blood. Now be with us as we go this time, Lord, and we pray that those who partake of this will do so in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable unto you. Now we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This concludes our part of the worship service. We observe the Lord's Supper. We who are members here at River Ridge now have an opportunity to give of our means for the work that's being done here. Now, those of you who are visiting with us, we're not soliciting funds from you in any way. If you wish to give, you're welcome to do so. Let us pray. Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity we have to be able to give a portion of what we've earned in our lives, Lord, to give to you and for the work that's being done here at this place. My prayer is, Lord, that all the monies that we collect, Lord, is done with and spent in such a way as we can be a credit to you, Lord, and to extend the work that's being done in this area, in this community, and especially with the work we're doing with our church building. We pray that the money we use can be used to progress that effort. And we offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Chuck brings us this lesson this morning. We'll sing 627. If you're willing and able, we'll stand while we sing this song. 627. I'm in the way,
the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saved today. Yes, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in
interpretation will be 179. 179.
Good to see everyone out today. I want to encourage you to take hold of your Bibles as we now study together, and you'll open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians, while you're turning there. One other quick announcement. Let's continue to remember. I know it's been a while and everybody's pretty much been made aware of it, but let's continue to remember Josh and his family with the passing of his sister. I was asking him about the children, and it's still, you know, there's some issues there. We just need to remember them and keep them in our prayers as they take care of matters. In the 11th chapter, Paul, talking about some of the hardships that he had faced. For example, verse 24, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day was in the deep. Moving on down, verse 27, and weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often hunger and thirst and fastings. But I want to notice verse 28, where he simply made the statement, besides other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Thinking, really? You're concerned for the churches all the time? Well, why is that? What churches are we talking about? Well, in Romans 16:16, when Paul said the churches of Christ salute you, he had traveled around. We often mention that. We always say, well, Paul traveled around and he sent greetings on behalf of the brethren. He had visited and he said, you know, the churches of Christ say hello. They salute you. But wait a minute. Let's think about this for a moment. Why did he travel around? Well, it's connected with this verse 28 that we just read. Let's just notice some of his journeys. Go to the book of Acts, if you would. We're going to go to the 15th chapter. Let's just notice a few verses here and there of why Paul traveled around. And we know that he wanted to go and spread the gospel. But we're talking about the second journey and the third journey. But in Acts chapter 15, we notice he says in verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city that we have preached the word of the Lord to, and see how they are doing. Verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Strengthening the churches. Go to the 16th chapter. Look at verse 4 and 5. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in numbers daily. One more, go to the 18th chapter before we get into our direction here today. Acts chapter 18. Pick it up in verse 22. The end of his second journey and the start of his third journey. It says in verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch, and he had spent some time there, and he departed and went over the region of Galatia, Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples. What came upon Paul daily was his concern for the churches. We do. Hey, you want to increase your prayer life? Have children. Do you not pray for your children all the time? This is the time of year you had family come in, right? We did. And when family left, I mean, there's my brother-in-law. He's my age. And I go, be careful on the road. It's like, what, I'm not going to be careful? Well, you just say those things, right? Be careful. You know, your children leave, you know, have a safe trip. Be careful as you're on the road. You know, the concerns that we have, it's not so much like you're a bad driver, it's just that we're always going to be concerned. There's always dangers out there. And I think about that when it comes to the church. You know, the church is constantly under attack. But what I want to do, instead of going through parts of the New Testament today and talk about all the pitfalls that the local churches fell into and all the bad things, I want to keep things on a positive note this morning by saying, you know, well, what does a strong church do? And we're going to notice churches that were strong and some things that they were doing to remain strong. That's all. Hey, children, you had a safe trip coming here? Well, have a safe trip going home, too. You know, we have that confidence in you that you can be a good driver. And so the same thing, we're talking about the local church, you know, like, Well, yeah, there's lots of dangers. The local church is constantly under attack, and Paul would know things more so because, you know, we read in Acts chapter 20, where he knew things that were going to befall the church at Ephesus. But let's just notice some passages here now of what made the church stronger. What's going to make the River Ridge Church of Christ a strong church? Well, keep on doing what you've been doing is what I want to say. And what are some of those things? Well, first of all, have a desire. As a local congregation, have the desire to get stronger. What good does it do for Paul to travel around to strengthen the churches if they don't want to be strengthened? That makes sense. You know, so Paul wanted to go to those brethren and help increase their faith, help them to become stronger. And we as a local congregation, what is this local congregation? It's made up of individuals. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're individuals, but we come together as a body. Okay, that's what you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. They came together as a church. So when you drive around the neighborhood and you come by my house, you're not going to say, oh, there's where the church is. No, that's where Chuck and Debbie live. That's not the church. We're members of the church. Okay? So we come together as a body, but individuals make it up. And as individuals, it's not that church that's just a term that floats out there. Well, we'll let the church take care of that. Well, wait a minute. That's us. You know, we don't use terms like they and them. We use terms like us and we. We're a family. We're a local congregation. And so as a congregation, on an individual basis, collectively, of course, hopefully all of us, have that desire where we say, we just want to get stronger. We want to. That's what's going to make for a strong church. You just say to yourself, you know, Chuck, I want to increase. And if you have all the members saying that, well, that's pretty terrific. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul writing to the brethren here, he just simply tells the brethren as this letter winds down, the last chapter in 1 Corinthians. So verse 16, he says in verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Well, don't tell that to people that don't want to be that way. No, I tell people that want to. You know, when I tell my children, now be safe on the road. Well, we don't want to be safe. Well, they want to be safe. They want to be, obviously. They say, well, duh, Dad, of course we're going to drive carefully. Well, brethren, I hope I get a duh. I hope you go like, of course we want to be strong. Great. Great, because we're in trouble. We would be in trouble if we didn't want to get stronger. And you have to think in terms of, well, what does that mean to get stronger? If Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then that means you want to hear more of the word. That's what you want. You want to study more. You know, it's funny, there are places that say, well, why don't we just meet? Let's just meet at 10. Forget the Bible study at 9. And let's cut out the afternoon service. And why do we need a midweek Bible study? Why are we having gospel meetings? Well, we haven't had one here, but where are we going to put anybody? But why are we doing that? You know, we should study less. That's going to make us stronger. No, it's not. No, it's not. You study less, you get weaker. You take advantage of opportunity. We have a monthly study. Now, you don't have to come, but the point is there are things that we do, but the church is to provide these things for when we have those opportunities. I understand, you know, Mark can't make it here today. We got people there, they're traveling. I know they're worshiping somewhere else, but the point is, Mark, working this morning, wish he could be here? Of course. He had a choice. You know, if I have a choice of study more, study less, I choose study more. Why? Because I want to get stronger. And we as a church, we love those opportunities. And of course, we understand that without learning, you can't grow. And Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. I got to move along because I got a lot of points this morning. Let me just turn over to Acts chapter 20 and make this point. Because Paul was concerned for the church at Ephesus, and he calls for the elders to come down and meet him. And some of the things that he mentioned to them, he says in verse 30 beginning, he says, also for among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Need to do that. Warn the brethren. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word which will build you up. You know, you have that hunger and you have that thirst. I want to feed on the word of God. I want to become stronger. That's what makes for a strong church. A church that wants to get stronger. individual members who are challenging themselves. I want to learn more. And it'll tie into some of our next few points. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. You know what makes for a strong congregation? One that provides leadership. Leadership. Well, we don't have elders and deacons, a congregation might say. Well, doesn't mean you can't have leaders within the congregation, because the ladies and the men, and there are certain categories and certain areas that they can. And we're going to look at those verses in just a moment. But taking things in order here, I want to first talk about this idea. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12. He talks about in this area of the deacons. Back up a little bit earlier in the same chapter. I was actually going to go like 1 through 12, but I don't have time for all of that. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about in verse 1, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. And then he talked about deacons down 8 and through verse 13. But what do you want them for? Well, I find over there in 1 Peter chapter 5, he mentions there in verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort whom a fellow elder, witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory should afterwards be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingness, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor being lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. I love that idea of being an example, but you take that passage in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 13 through 16, where he says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We've often talked about, yeah, use that in the family situation. Be an example to your children, your husband, your wife. What about here? What about right here? Can't we be an example to one another? That's what we want. You provide leadership in so many different ways. I'm thinking leadership. Brethren, when visitors come in, be example. Go to 1 Corinthians. I love this. I love bringing this point up. Yes, we come together and we say, well, this is just for Christians to come together and we worship God. Yes, but you know what? We invite people, don't we? Don't you want visitors to come? Okay, and Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that there are times, brethren, he says, you know, visitors might come in and you better pay attention to them. Well, why should we care about them? Well, Paul says this. He says in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 14, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, there was a problem at Corinth, that's a different point. But if all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say you're out of your mind? You see, the last thing I want for us to do here at the River of Church Christ is have a visitor come in and they walk out the door and say, those guys are out of their minds. They're nuts. I don't want them to do that. I want us to be mindful of our example, especially when we have visitors that come in. People walk out, you know, and go, man, not one person said hello to me. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. And being encouragement to me, and do you need a Bible? We got Bibles at the back, and just being helpful to one another. Again, the point that we're trying to talk about here is providing that leadership, teaching to help other people to become teachers. I mean, that's all part of it. I think of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writing to young Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he mentions in verse 1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Provide that for the congregation. Every member doing what they can. And you can read Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, and it talks about the older men and the older women and teaching the younger. So many areas that a local church can grow in, and we need to be mindful of that. That's what makes for a strong church. And so I'm preaching on this. You might say, well, Chuck, are we weak? Is that why you're preaching on this? No, it's the same way I'm saying be careful when you drive home. You know, what do strong churches do is what I'm saying. That's what the lesson is today. What do strong churches do? Well, number one, they want to be strong. Number two, they provide that leadership. And number three, well, you know what? I got ahead of myself because I would be amiss if I didn't read Ephesians chapter 4. I got to go there because Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, when he talks about the church and the things, you know, the leadership that's even provided within there, it was for a purpose. And he mentions in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors or elders, and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up. We want to be built up. What does that mean? To become stronger. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. You spend a week laying on a bed, you know what? Your muscles are gone. I got nothing. You know, you want to know what it feels like? You know, just feel my arms and then feel Tony's. Okay. There's a difference when somebody's working out and somebody who's not. Flat. Okay. And so when we think about us, that we exercise ourselves as a congregation because we want to become stronger. We want to develop our abilities. Okay. Matthew 28, obviously, was mentioned in the prayer just a moment ago by Brother Mike. A strong congregation focuses on the lost. But we're here. We want to reach out, be active in doing it. This pulpit, this small pulpit here, is not the tool for evangelism. If that's all we're going to think of, this is it, this is the only tool for evangelism, we're in trouble. Okay, that's not the tool for evangelism. We like to, you know, we had study, Tony and Trey's friends, you know, so we met in a library this week. Just get together and have a study. Say, well, if they're not going to come to service, I'm not going to waste my time with them. What? No, you study with people when you have any opportunity. We do it anywhere that we can, because that was the commission that was given in Matthew 28. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. All things that I've commanded you. And one of the things I've commanded you is go make disciples. So that wasn't just for the apostles. That's for us. You know, when the church was being persecuted, in Acts 8 and verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. That is our desire. That's what we want. Spread the good news. Go to Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to tell you something straight up. Brethren, please associate with sinners. Please do that. Okay? Don't cut yourself off. Now, I know you love to spend time with brethren. Boy, you better like to do that because you're going to hate heaven. But don't worry about it. You wouldn't then. You don't want to spend time with your brethren. And that's what the good thing about the church. It's just like a little taste of heaven. Man, I get to be with you, brethren. Unfortunately, I can't be with you 24/7. But I wouldn't want to be with you with 24/7. You wouldn't want to be with me? Why not, Chuck? Well, because the Lord doesn't want me to be with you 24/7. Because if I just spend all my time with Christians, how do you reach the lost? And that's the point that Jesus had to get across here in Matthew chapter 9. Pick it up in verse 9. As Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came down, sat down with him, and his disciples and the Pharisees saw. They said to his disciples, why did your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Spend time with the lost. Now, I'm not saying to compromise. I'm not saying to do things that are unlawful. And I'm not saying to enjoy being with sinners more than you enjoy being with your own brothers and sisters. Yeah, I just couldn't imagine, you know. I'm in town here, you know. It doesn't matter whether my daughter lives next door or, you know, another city. But I'm just giving you an illustration. But if she calls up and says, Mom and Dad, we're not coming for Thanksgiving. Just met some stranger down the street. We're just going to go over to their place. Family. It's family time. You know, I guess maybe as a Christian, we'd probably just say, okay, fine, that's good. So, you know, go do that kind of thing. But I'm just trying to get the idea that, you know, we want to associate with the lost. We want to help them go to heaven as Jesus did. I just didn't want us to make sure that I'm not saying that justifies us not wanting to be with brethren. But folks, let's remember, we are here to help save the lost. That is our goal. The Bible teaches that there's a double standard, as you all know. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to make this point really quick. 1 Corinthians chapter. There's a double standard. I know it. And I need to accept it. When He says in verse, well, I'll pick it up in verse 9. Nope, I'm going to skip down. I'm going to skip down to verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will raise us up by his power. Now, he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. He goes on and talks about what is it that we would have in common with the ungodly. Obviously, I'm around the sinner to try to help them to come to Christ. I'm not being around the sinner so they can help me leave Christ. I got to remember that. Who's influencing who within all of that? Okay, so we do see the importance of this, of focusing on the lost, and we need to do that. We're trying to do all that we can, whether it's Bible studies. You're mailing the bulletin out to over 100 people. It's great within the community. Constantly get the word out. We had some people call up this week and said, put me on the list. People said, you know, send me some copies of the DVD program on this particular subject you had on the TV program. We're trying to do with the radio program. How many people? I don't know how many people live in. Listen, if one person is listening, it's worth it. The point is you want to get the gospel out, and it isn't all about the results. The Lord said, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you plant water, he'll give the increase. I'm not worried about the results, folks. We don't get caught up in that here. I don't care if we're, you know, well, he says, remember the days when there were just... we were very small. This is huge. People visit us and go, oh, you got a small little congregation here. We're going, this is huge. Small. Small is when I'm preaching to Debbie and she takes the baby out and I have to shut up. That's small. Been there, done that. That was a small congregation. This is huge. You know, and the point is, we don't get caught up in the numbers. You know, Jesus certainly didn't over in John chapter 6 when the many stopped following him and he turned to the 12 and said, do you also want to go? If you want to go, there's the door. Now, a strong congregation focuses on the lost, but that's not it. A strong congregation, you want to talk about a strong one. Paul bragged on these brethren. We're going to go to a strong congregation. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Here's a strong congregation, and here's what Paul tells them to do. Wait a second. They're already strong, Paul. Don't tell them to do anything. No. I want you to continue to do what you're doing, but look at the way that he put it here in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. He loved these brethren. Close bond. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, the church at Thessalonica, in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. His grace be to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your patience and faith and all of your persecution, tribulations, which you endure. A strong church continues to abound in love towards one another. I mean, you have to work at that. Building up relationships within the church relates to our last point. Yeah, being around the sinners, but I'll tell you what, I love being around my brethren. Man, you talk about looking forward to coming together. And I actually look forward to some of our social things. Okay, the church doesn't organize it, but you know what? Some of the families say, hey, we're having a game night. I'm there. Hey, we're going to have a singing, or I'm there. Hey, we're going to have a study. I'm there. You know, we look forward to those opportunities. I've actually had brethren come up and say, why did you plan on that night? I can't come. I'm glad you're upset. I like it when somebody's upset that they don't get to come because they're telling me, I wanted to come. Why are you doing that? You know, once we settle them down, we don't get angry about it. The point is, it happens. But we love to spend time with one another. But that's what he's talking about here. Paul wasn't praising these brethren just for their past, but for their continued effort in abounding in their love. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Oh, boy, have I got time for this? How many points do I got? Philippians, Colossians, got it. Philippians, chapter 1, look at verse 3 beginning. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work and you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Just as it is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. Verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. You see, the love that I'm talking about, this point was, we abound in love. Now, but not just abounding in love towards one another, but you abound in your love for knowledge, for truth. Boy, you get a congregation that just loves truth. Well, I love preaching for them. I mean, I've told you guys before, you know, I mean, when I first started preaching, you know, that small group. And there's Mary Harrison, you know, and I'm just learning to preach, and I get up and preach a simple sermon on baptism. Tears are coming down her face, and she just loved the truth. And that was such an encouragement to me, these older ladies, these widows, and there were just so many of them in the congregation, but you know, it made you feel like $1 million after you preached the word. And I know it wasn't, I know they were trying to encourage me, but they just loved the truth. And that's what makes for a strong congregation. Because we'll encourage, you know, the brethren get up here. Your brethren helped out while I was sick. And even I came and I still wasn't able to preach, and sitting there listening. And they just got up there. And where was all the criticism? They got up and they just preached the truth. And when a congregation does that, that makes for a strong group here, that we will abound in our love. 2 points. Obviously, very quickly. A strong church remains pure. Remains pure. Now, I know on an individual basis, it works that way. I'll talk about the church in a moment. I want to go to James chapter 1 quickly. In James chapter 1, he tells us in verse 24, he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. You know, you get rid of that lifestyle. That is just wrong. Now, within the local church, we understand from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we wouldn't want to tolerate that. Any immorality, I won't preach a lot on this because I want to look at some other verses quickly as we go down to Ephesians chapter 5. But I want to quickly make this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says in verse 1, it's actually reported there sexual immorality among you is the point. Such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles. A man is his father's wife. He says, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that this deed might be taken away from you. As a congregation, mourn. We don't want immorality. We don't want to be marred. We don't want to be scarred. We don't want our influence in the community to be hurt in any way. We will deal with it. I mentioned earlier about the double standard. Here's what I was getting ahead of myself. Look at verse 9. He says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I did not certainly mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who's named a brother, who's gotten sexual immorality, covetous, drunkenness, and so on. Deal with it. Help them to come back. Restore them. Don't ignore that. A strong church is not going to ignore that. Why? Because they want that member to go to heaven. I mean, to ignore? I mean, what parent ignores a child that's walking out into the street? Come on, there's not a parent here that would ignore that. You just don't do that. You're going to get run over. When there's sin within the congregation, a congregation is not going to ignore that. Why? Because of the previous point. We love one another. We want people to go to heaven. There is that double standard that he mentions here. Keep it pure. A quick passage over to Ephesians chapter 5. This is why Jesus died. He purchased the church with his own blood. Acts 20, verse 28. So, okay. This is a blood-bought church. You know that? This local congregation is a blood-bought church. It's not Chuck's church. It's not the elder's church. It's not the deacon's church. It's Christ's church. He's the head. It belongs to him. If we start teaching things that are wrong within the Word of God, if we still call ourselves a Church of Christ, we've just become a religious group, folks. Do you understand? You better listen to the head. You better abide by it. This church belongs to Christ. And if so, If so, what do you have here? He says in verse 25 of Ephesians 5, he says, husband, love your wife. What? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. That's this church. Holy and without blemish. Now, if somebody comes up and says, Chuck, you've got a blemish. What? You've got a blemish. Where? Your members of the town drunk. What? How did that escape us? But anyways, once we're made aware of it, that's what we're talking about, the idea of keeping it pure and disciplined. Keeping the church pure. Now, I don't know what everybody does. We don't hire private investigators. Not spying on you. I don't know everything that you do. I know this much, you're not perfect. But there's a difference to a person who sins and repents of it and a person who's a slave to sin. Remember that. And somebody who's walking in sin and we're aware of that, we are to deal with it. Keeping the church pure is our responsibility. And if there's one thing that has been missing, and you know, you want to become a weak church real fast? You want to become a weak church? Don't discipline. You want your children to end up in juvenile delinquent? You want your children to end up behind bars? Never discipline. Don't discipline at all. We understand how important that is because we love them. That, see how all the points tie together? Last point, lesson is yours. A strong church, it endures adversity by being loyal to the Lord. This church faces hardships. We may face, maybe our previous point would be a hardship. Discipline is a hard thing. You know, let's face it, if we had three rows right here and every one of them are related and you had to discipline one of them, yikes. And that's why some churches don't do it, by the way, because you discipline one. Well, then we're all even. We're family. We're all... Okay. It happened. Churches can face hardships in a lot of different ways. I consider one of our hardships, believe it or not, folks, and we've been praying about it. I'm not picking on Homeland Security, but they're really, 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 for some reason, giving us a hard time. And I can't explain it. You know, we're supposed to get approval for the renovations within 3 to 5 weeks. We're going into our fourth month. And I don't know why. Nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. And we can't even call a state official to check into it because it's against the law, because nobody can influence Homeland Security. Now, I'm not sitting here going against the government. I'm just saying that it's a hardship. We want to move out of here. We want our own place. We'd love to have a gospel meeting and invite others to come and hear the gospel. Can't do it here. We just can't. But the point is, churches can face hardships in all different kinds of ways. In the first century, they were being persecuted. We are thankful that people don't come in here and dragging us off to prison. I'm thankful for that. But there may come a time when the church will face different kinds of hardships for standing for what is right. But a strong church will endure those hardships, will overcome them. Might even be a death. Sometimes that can just tear a congregation apart. And we can just pull together and strengthen one another, encourage one another. And so it can come in all shapes and sizes. And Paul told the Thessalonian brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 10 through 14, he commended them. He said, you faced the same afflictions that we did, and you stood strong. So brethren, we talked this morning about this is what a strong church does. It makes for a strong church. And we hope that we will keep these fundamentals in mind as we continue to go, because we don't want to rest on the past. You know, I've heard of places, you know, they talk about the good old days. I'm not going to dwell on the past. And we only have today, and we'll just take advantage of what lies ahead. Now, I'll tell you this much. If there's one thing that we've learned today, although I didn't spend a lot of time talking about becoming a Christian, I did tell you the value of the church. And here's the connection. You can't be a Christian and not be a member of the church. That's the good news, because if you become a Christian, the Lord automatically adds you to His church. Now, here's the thing. He automatically added you to the universal body of Christ. And when Paul told the elders, feed the flock which is among you, that meant that the elders knew who the members were. The elders are supposed to know that. You guys come up to me and say, Chuck, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. I go, what? They're a member here? And you're an elder? You don't even know who the members are? Are you crazy? Something's wrong. You'd be right. That would be wrong. Elders are supposed to know those who are members. And that's why people became members of a local congregation. Paul did that in Acts chapter 9. To join. He went down to Jerusalem to do that, to become a part of the group there. Of course, they're going like, hey man, you persecuted us. Of course, Barnabas had to put in a word for him. Oh, no, he's changed. He's a Christian. He's a member. I didn't say Barnabas actually said that, but in other words, he did defend Paul. And so we value the church. And I want to encourage you to value it, but I want you, first of all, to value your soul. Are you a Christian? In just a few moments, Tony's going to be leading us in 179. And if you're subject to the invitation, we'll sit down and we'll go through the plan of salvation, what the Bible teaches to become a Christian. I can give it to you quickly, but I want you to read it for yourself. And if you're interested, we'll sit down and we'll talk about that. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, as we talked about, because you're sitting there going, Chuck, I don't want to martyr this church in any way. And I have unrepentant sin. I have sinned publicly, and I want to take care of it publicly. If you sin privately, take care of it privately, but take care of it, folks, is the point. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, we let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. Hear, O hear Him calling, calling out for thee. Though you've wandered so far from His presence, come today. Hear His loving voice calling still.
Loving voice calling still.
here this morning. It's great. A full house, and we have another half of the other congregation gone. So that's good. So pray for the building. We definitely need it. We'll meet again this evening at, or this afternoon at 4 o'clock, then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. It is good to have each and every one of you here with us this morning. Thank Chuck for the lesson, and like you said, have a safe trip home, and Lord willing, we'll see you this afternoon. We'll have our closing prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to close this service thanking you so much for this time that you have allowed us to assemble here as your children, to worship you, to sing songs of praise, and to study your word, Father. We pray that we will take the things that we have heard this morning, we will study them, meditate upon them, and apply them to our lives, and that we may continue to grow in your service, and that we will always strive to have a strong church, and to always support one another, and to always do your will in this area, Father. We pray that you be with our members who are not with us this morning, those who are sick. We pray that you will help them to regain their strength and to be able to return to us, Father. We pray that you be with our members who are dealing with chronic illness. We pray that you will help them to have to ease their pain, Father, and help them to give them comfort that only you can give, Father. We pray that you be with all of our members who are traveling this day. We pray that you will help them to have safe travel and to be able to return to us and once again be counted among us, Father. And we pray that you always be with us as we strive to do your will in this area. Help us to stand for truth and to be able to give an account of things that we believe in, and we may be able to teach the lost and bring them to you, Father. And we pray that you will always help us to plant and water, and that you will give the increase. We pray, Father, now that you will go with us as we leave this place. Help us to always look to you for guidance and keep us safe. Forgive us when we fail. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
No, I didn't phone for y'all over mine.
How are you?
I got one.